2 weeks on prosperity, the God kind of prosperity and God's law of prosperity. And we want to try to bring these things together that we can have you to go out and be balanced in this thing. Balanced. Being balanced in prosperity is very important, especially in the God kind of prosperity. So I want to hit some angles tonight that will cause you not to be flaky, not to be falling behind a dream that can't come through for you, something would cause you to be shipwrecked in your faith. You don't want that. You don't want that. Nothing good enough to cause you to be shipwrecked in your faith. So I want to kind of tighten some ends up as the Spirit of God lead me and show you how to be established in the laws of prosperity, to be established, to be balanced in the laws of prosperity, and therefore you can prosper properly. Are you listening to me? That you can prosper properly. Now, I want to go back to some scripture that we used earlier so we can see some things in Deuteronomy 8:18. Is that it? Yeah, Deuteronomy 18:8. I haven't been there so long. What is it, 8:18? Yeah, okay. I want you to look at that, because we had another golden text we had chosen, and we're going to look at that one about how the Lord Jesus became poverty that we might become rich. But I want to go back and read a few things. There are so many people who had not been with us in the beginning. I see new faces every night. How many been here every night? Every night. Goodness. My goodness, yeah. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I don't have time. You read Deuteronomy chapter 8 and chapter 28. There are grace in the aspect of how to keep yourself check and balance in prosperity, because God wants you to keep his word, remember to put him first and things of that nature. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of water, of fountains and depths that springs out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines." See, all this talking about prosperity. "And fig trees and pomegranates, a land of all olive and honey." Now notice this ninth verse. We talked about this pretty extensively in other classes, but I want you to notice it again tonight. "A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." Glory to God. "Thou shalt not lack," glory to God, "anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hill thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full," see, "then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land." Everybody say, "good land."
Good land.
"Which he has given thee." Now, the Lord has provided for us a good land. In following his laws and his word, there's a good land of prosperity for us. A land where we can support the gospel first. Oh, you didn't get that. I got to say that over, because I won't be able to say nothing else. A land where you can support the gospel first. No, that's sad. A land where you can support the gospel first. That's pretty good. A land where you can support the gospel first.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, you have to get that straight. See, his work, his covenant being fulfilled in the earth's realm, it is of utmost importance in God's kind of prosperity. If you cannot support his work first, you are not ready. Because it will cause you to get shipwrecked. The more you get, the further you get away from God. But if you got first, if you know how to put first things first, you can have it. Amen? And I'll tell you, when you get you supporting the gospel, you'll have plenty, 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 oh, plenty, 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 plenty left over for you and your folk. Amen? So here he says, now notice verse 11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." See, most people forget the Lord when they go to coming up in the world a little bit. And he want to warn us in not keeping his commandment. See, you got to keep his commandment. You can't let money cause you to go to the living room. And his judgment and his statute, which I command thee this day, lest or unless, when thou hast eaten and art full. You see, some of us, the only reason that we, and I'm not decasting anyone, but I want you to see this, because you need to look at this to make sure that this will not take a hold of you. Some of us only serve God because we need something. And we haven't grown to the point where we love God just because he is God. Get to the point where you'll serve him whether you had anything or not. You just love him for who he is. Not for, you know when a person hanging around to get from you what you got. You can tell them. You smell them. They're just hanging around. They're really not for you. They lack you because of what you have, and they're hanging thinking you might drop something. Well, you can't hang around God. You know, like some people stick up under their wealthy relative. And they handle them any kind of way. Just because they got a little something. I tell you, you have to learn to make God your source. Licking up on the people because they got something. Falling behind them. Hanging around them. Thinking they might drop a little something. I might feel a little favor toward you because you smiling and give you a little something. That's handout. You don't want no handout. I want the hand. I don't want no handout. I won't get into the hand myself, the man hand. I won't get into the M-A-I-N hand and the M-A-N hand. The man hand. Get in his, and how you get in his hand is get in his will. Are you listening to me? So we have these guidelines here. And Deuteronomy 28 also give us some guidelines in how to deal with godly prosperity. Because if you don't know how to deal with it, it will become more of a curse to you than a blessing. First of all, if you can't depart from that dime, go on and stick with the world system and do the best you can. Because don't start getting God money and getting God to flowing and functioning in your life and then cut God off. You'd have been better off if you never got in the system. Hallelujah. See, lest when thou hast eaten and full and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, notice multiply, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Hallelujah. But then he says, then thy heart be lifted up. Now that's what you want to stop right there. Stop that heart from being lifted up. Then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, or out of the land of poverty, from, my goodness, look at this. From, everybody say from. From the house of bondage. Now, 85% I'm going up every night. 85 to 90% of the body of Christ is in bondage. Financially. No money. False prosperity. Long confession. For 6 and 7 years, person been confessing. I know some ministers been confessing for years. And they're still in the same shape they was last 7 years when he confessed it. And God don't take that long to come through. False prosperity. Buying cars that you're not able to take care of. Buying building houses that your finance can't even take care of the yard and the stuff. You're just building. After you get the house built, you're staying in and you struggle behind them doors and suffer. And then you need to have enough money to take care of what you build or what you buy. See, a lot of time we are taught about this prosperity, but there's not enough balance in it. We move too fast. There are levels that you must go through in order, first of all, get the foundation right. So no matter how high you build, how many floors, or how many stories you want to go up, you know you got a good foundation. Amen. So here, let's lay the foundation from some things I've already told you. Four words. Always keep God first. First lay of the foundation. That must be in the foundation. Say it. Always keep God first. Now what that consists of when you say always keep God first? Everything what? Everything you do in your life. Everything. Keep him first. We don't have problem keeping God first in our prayer. In our praise. And worship. Oh, y'all love to do that. At that dime. That's when the contest come with God. That dime, 10 cent on a dollar. That's when we go to figging and scratch it and become absent-minded. And you destroy. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. I don't care how many words you think you're receiving, how many dreams you're having, how many visions you have, how many pastors you've sat under, how many prophets you know, how many conventions you've gone to. Until you understand that dime belong to God, you will not prosper as you should. God, I say this, and you know some people, I guess it caused a little rumbler in their heart and in their head. But God actually judged, number one, the way you love him by your pocketbook and your watch. Oh, God not concerned about money. You better read that Bible. See, the Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil. And you know, we talk about those people who hoarding the money up. No, it's right in the body of Christ, those who would not give God what they're supposed to give to him. You can go on, take that voice and say it's mine. I love money because I trust this money more than I trust in the living God to supply all my needs that I need in this life and above. Amen? So let's get the foundation straight, because people try to build skyscrapers without foundation. They hear messages like this, and the Lord told me, he said, I want you to deal. Now I want you to make sure everybody balances, because listen, a lot of information been put out these 2 weeks. You listen to these tapes, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost have turned this thing inside out. And on last night I began to talk about, and I know that the Spirit of God was well pleased with it, because and Revelation came out last night, I'm going to tell it to you again, that you can prosper on the level, get this down, you can prosper on the level where you are. Are you following me? And $1 on the other side of debt is prosperity. You got all your bills paid. $1 on the other side getting all your debt paid, you had just hit prosperity. Now, because we always look up to the person who owns the company, or this person who in this field, a doctor or the lawyer, or some big minister, or some big senator, representative, or the president, or the governor, or somebody, you know, the high sheriff, you know. We always look up to them as if they are the one who have the greatest advantage. But no, see, you take off, you're a janitor, making $4 an hour. Take off right where you are. Start giving God his due. Start giving God, oh, I don't want you to hear the word due. Oh, no, my God, not due. No, excuse me that. Scratch that out. Erase it off the tape. That's been a problem, you know, but from Baptists, we've been giving God dues. Now, God don't want no dues. He wants tithes. Amen? Amen? And start where you are. Start where you are, and that person who you thought was prosperous, you'll pass them up like they're standing still when you get in God's divine prosperity program. See, some people think, I have to have this type of job, or I have to be a principal in a school, or assistant principal, or assistant DA. No, you don't have to be those folks. Just be somebody who loves God and putting God in his proper place, and that word will elevate you like a skyscraper. Are you listening to me? Now, you got this, always keep God first. The other thing that you need to lay in your foundation, is that God owns everything and I own nothing. Amen. That'll keep you detached from houses, detached from cause. Detach from money. See? Because you recognize it belonged to God. Then another thing in the aspect of the God's laws of prosperity, you have to one day make up your mind, listen to me real closely now, listen real good, turn everything you now presently using over to God. Your family, your house, I don't care, it don't have to be no brick mansion. Just turn whatever you got over to God and just keep that up like it's a mansion. Plant flowers around it. Make it look good. Paint it. And just act like you're in a mansion. And treat that well and be happy and be prosperous over there. And thank God for that. And give it back to him and watch what he do for you. Now, I know some of you are practicing some of these things. But in a crowd like this, you got to balance these things. You got to make sure that the devil know we know we're not just going after money, just be going after money for money's sake. But you know, I pointed out, now you got those three things. The fourth thing is, God first, others second, and you last. Prefer your brother. Want your brother to prosper. Help him if you can. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Now, in this foundation, prior to going up too high, you have to make sure that you're rooted and grounded in the faith. See, when you go to dealing with prosperity, Colossians tell us something about that. I'll tell you about that in a minute. I won't go back to 1 Samuel 22. You turn there. Turn there tonight. 1 Samuel 22. And this is the largest percentage of the body of Christ where they are. In debt, distress, and discontentment. I want to keep that before you because we have talked about, how many of you all ever live from payday to payday? How many of you all ever have the bill wrestling match? The bill tug, you can call it what you want. We know about it, many of us still in it. Well, I got out, I broke out, thank God, but I didn't do it overnight. I thank Audrey watched my sister. She's been here with me. She watched me work this word over the years. She's the church secretary. She was my secretary for a while. But she watched me work this word from year to year. Marion and Charles watched me work this word. They knew when we didn't have nothing, but they watched us work this word. They followed right along with us, working this word, working this word, working this word, being faithful, day in, day out, being faithful. When the clock was short, being faithful, never late, being faithful, being faithful. Year after year, year after year, week after week, month after month, they have seen us. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. We've been faithful in this thing. Faithfulness pays off. And I say to you, I'm not, you see right there in that second verse, these 400 men gathered themselves around David. David had the spirit of anointing, the spirit of faith on him. These men in distress and debt and discontentment gathered themselves around David. Further down the line, you find out those men turned out to be captains. They got out of debt. They got out of distress. They got out of discontentment. Because David, that spirit of faith came on them and David trained them how to come out of debt. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now that voice locate the body of Christ at large. We shouldn't have to borrow money to build buildings. We have enough money coming into the body of Christ's home to pay tithes. That we never have to go to bank, to the bank. The Lord wanted the banks to come to us. Now you see, you can't even fathom that. But you see, I've got stirred up in this thing. I've studied this thing, Bob, and I see where we were supposed to have it, and we were supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. Then we dealt with the credit card syndrome. Some of you all are credit card sick. And credit cards have become demons in your life. And you're carrying a demon in your person, in your wallet. Everywhere you go, you got a demon with you. So you're casting something out of you, need to cast something out of your wallet and cast something out of your pocketbook. That thing keeping you in debt. My wife and I, just before, I was back in my study And they wrote, pre-approved, $8,000 limit, sending soon. I put it in the trash can. They try to get me back in credit. I'm living on cash. Amen. Now, preachers, a lot of times I won't share this with you because a lot of times they try to hide it from you. But you don't have to. I'm not hiding nothing. I'm a transparent life. I'm living on top because my Father is on top. And I've paid my dues. So I'm not going back in the alley and hide from you. Yeah. Amen. Now listen. We want to come out of debt. We want to use credit card, but not let credit card use us. Now, I'm going to tell you a few minutes. Some of y'all are paying $35 and $25 a month on that thing. Well, they got it set up where you never pay it out. Because by the time you get it down to $400 and your limit $800, you're going back and get your $400 worth more. Call that the credit card syndrome. How many know what I'm talking about? Just everybody raise your hand so we won't tell on nobody. Amen. Though that's a better way for you. I said that's a better way. I said that's a better way. God has set a better way for you. Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me ye would not, said the Lord of hosts. If I would not open the same windows that I opened to let the flood come down on Noah, I open that same window with blessing and let the flood of my goodness come on you. I'd like to look at that revelation. All that water came out and caused that flood. God opened the windows of heaven. And let that water out. Well, he want to open that window of heaven and just let the blessings of God come out join you the same way. Same window, same God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I almost preached myself happy already tonight. Because I see something that the body of Christ need to know. Tonight, I'm going to turn you into knowing exactly how far to go and not to go too fast. See, because you listen to that person. Now, you listen to that 20 years. See, and you hear this little prosperity revival for 2 weeks and been in church for 2 years, and here you go. That's what I want right over there. That's what I saw Dr. Thompson with, a Reverend Thompson, a Brother Tom, or Tom with anybody, whatever you want to call me. That's what I saw him with. That's what I want. No, you don't have that kind of faith yet. You take it step by step. When you get there, you'll be all right. You follow what I'm saying? Take it step by step. Don't try to move too fast and jump the gun. I'm going to show you from the scriptures tonight. Scripture that the Lord gave me in Proverbs. Turn there. Hallelujah. Proverbs. Stick with me. I'm going to say some things to you tonight. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, just stick with me a few minutes. I got a lot of things I got to say to you. And you ready to hear them. Glory to God. Proverbs chapter 24. I had... You know, I read the Bible over and over again. I almost, they told me I was going crazy one time. I read the Bible so much when I was working at Wine that I read the Bible so much my head hurt. And I had to go take a walk down the track and put water on my face and came back and started reading it and crying again. I just was hungry for the Word of God. I read that Bible so much my eyes got blurry. I used to be down in dark tank cars, washing cars in the tank car, and I had a little New Testament in my pocket, and I come to the hole where the light was. That's why I'm wearing glasses today. I come to the hole where the light was and got me a read, sneaked me a read. I couldn't go. Smith Wigglesworth, he wouldn't go. Smith won't go over half an hour when he was living. Smith Wigglesworth, I don't know if you heard him, and talk about natural things until he said, no, let's talk to God. Now stop this car and stop all this unbelief. Get out your Bible. Now, in this verse, is the verse that the Lord gave me before I built my house. Now, a lot of you all don't know about where I stay, but I stay in a very prosperous house because the Lord told me to build it. One of the boys looked at my house, and they said, he's right there. He said that house in the place where he is from Memphis, Tennessee, would cost over $1 million. Well, I didn't pay that much for it, thank God. But he said that house would cost over $1 million where he's from. I lost some of y'all already. Now you preacher living in that kind of house. I don't know. All your heart become blood, and all your mind. You can't have it. God don't want you to have it because you're a preacher holer. You got to turn the preacher loose if you want it. God not gonna let you have it if the preacher can't have it. So I just want to check the preacher holders here so we can get them delivered. All you preachers holder, y'all need to be delivered. I remember when I was at Doc's house, you know, after I use his name, but he said something that'll never leave me. He had bought a new home. We were walking around his swimming pool. I had not built my house. And I saw a discontentment or something came on his face, and he looked at me. I said, what is it, Doc, we're talking? He said, I'm not satisfied until you build your house. Well, I get full every time I think about that. If a man think about you that much as a pastor, he wants you to have a nice house too. And when he came to my home, he said, well, now I'm satisfied. My goodness, man, that's love gone to seed. But most people have crippled themselves by holding pastors back, holding ministers back, don't want ministers to go forward. And you're holding your own foolish self back because God's not going to promote you if you don't bless your minister. I proved that last night in the Bible. Who were here last night? You remember, empowered to prosper? I'll probably show you that tonight. We can't let people leave without seeing that. Yeah. Amen? But when I was contemplating, well, I had another word from the Lord coming back from Connecticut. Matter of fact, we'll use that as a subject tonight. Don't sell it for less, for I have provided for you to have the best. Are you hearing me, young men? Yeah. Don't sell her for less. Don't sell her for drug and cocaine and sell drug to get on top. All you got to do is get under him, love him, walk with him, and you'll float. Yeah. You'll float right on up there. And the drug dealers will wonder what you're doing, and you'll have a clean bill of sale. You don't have to duck and hide. You got it decent and in order. Yeah. But when he told me, coming back from Connecticut, don't sell her for less. I was about to look back at a smaller blueprint. He said, don't sell her for less, for I have provided for you to have the best. And I have said, God is my witness, had not I built the home that I have now, I'll be out of the will of God. It's hard for people to understand it. I'll be out of the will of God. He told me what house to build. Matter of fact, he manifested that house on land in New Orleans, took me to it, showed it to me, and said, that is already built. Built it identical. Same color code and everything. I walked out and said, that's the house. We walked out and said, that's the house. We went to believe in God. Turn our faith toward God, looking for his timing. He said, a time has come. And he gave me this scripture. To my utter amazement, I reading Proverbs every day, a chapter a day, for years, and read this book through and through, Proverbs, a book of wisdom. But he took me to this particular verse. I mean, just blowed me out of my car, you know, when he told me, he said, look at it. In Proverbs 24, and I'm going to give it to you tonight. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward, now, actually, the ministry didn't build my house. I don't have a parsonage. I built it myself. Some people think I'm living in a parsonage. No, that's for my family. God provided that home for us. I'm saying this for you because I want you to know they're all real ministers. I built it myself. It's not a parsonage. God wanted me to build it. I had something else I wanted to say to you was very important. Let me read this again because it's a very key point that God wants you to have about this thing. My goodness, he wants the body of Christ to have this. It's well, I'll get it. The Lord will give it back to me. Amen?
Amen.
In the Amplified Bible, this verse read, put first things first. That's what this verse read in the Amplified Bible. This verse he gave me. Put first things first, prepare your work outside and get it ready for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house and establish your home. That's in the Bible. Now, this church, I was talking to my wife, she's the administrator. I don't keep up with all this stuff. This church had been out of debt, haven't owed no man anything since 1987. Since 1987. Been out of debt, haven't owned any man anything. This church, the last time we made a report, this church has over $1 million cash in the bank. Ready to go. It's over that probably now. What all do we own? We own this land. We own 20 acres of land down the street. We're buying 20 more acres right adjacent to it. We own this property. We own the property right down the street. We own that. And we don't owe no man anything. Well, I believe that's a field prepared. Since 1987, the only thing we had to pay was the electric bill and the normal thing, telephone bill. Money been drawing interest. We got money in every bank in Gonzales. Our major problem had been splitting it up to different banks so we have enough insurance to cover it. That's a good problem if you call it a problem. That's a good thing to have. Why are you telling me all this? I have to let you know that I'm speaking from experience. I'm speaking from a platform of prosperity. God will bring you into place. Oh, now, you say, have you arrived? Do you have $1 million yourself? No, no, but I have a full supply. You listen to some of the early tape, I'll tell you, on the early tape, it'll tell you what I had come in beside my salary in 1 year's time. It'll blow you out your seat of gifts and people giving me gifts and going ministers walk up and give you a $10,000 check, never bat the eye. Appreciate your gift. I didn't have to tell you that, did I? No, but I want you to just, when that old dog barking, he's up the wrong tree. He don't know what's going on. He don't know the rabbit already gone. Trying to share some things with you. Are you after money? No, my God. I've preached this revival for 2 weeks. I've preached 16, how many hours have I preached these 2 weeks? Bruce? More than 16. 16 and 5 in the morning, so that's 21 hours. I receive not a quarter from these offerings. They're not, I'm not being paid. I've come here morning and night. I get my salary from this church, but I could have went on without this revival and still got my salary. But my love for the body of Christ, my vacation has been canceled this week because the Holy Ghost said, teach you another week about prosperity. You see what I'm saying? I'm telling you to take dedication, consecration, and separation to really be in the blessings of God. How many here? You still here? And I can go on and tell you, on and on and on, and tell you how God blesses those who get in his will. Matter of fact, it's a good time to look at Abram. Now I want to read 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians and see how the Lord Jesus become poor, that you might become rich. Rich, you say now? Do we go seeking out what you call rich? Rich is not being in debt and having a full supply and be able to shout without sorrow. Yeah. Hallelujah. I've been teaching an hour and a half every night and an hour and a half every morning. And I believe the proof in the pudding is the eating. Ain't no sense me preaching about a God won't do nothing for me. Shoot. And you wouldn't be here if I stayed in a shack and had bust britches on and then my necktie was 14 different colors than my suit. You wouldn't come in here and listen at me. You here because you've seen something too. My members know. I don't hide nothing from my members. Bless God. I want them to know. My family know. God have blessed me. Hallelujah. Oh, when God bless you, no man can take it away. God is my source. And I want to brag on my daddy tonight. Hallelujah. He take care of his children well. Don't mind me crying. That's just the anointing. I tell you, the anointing of God come over me. I'm like Jeremiah. I'm a weeping prophet. I get so full and go to cry. I'm telling you, I'm so blessed. I'm blessed all under my feet. All in my socks, I'm blessed. I'm just blessed. Because I got a hold of God 20 years ago and I never turned him loose since. Glory to God. I had put something in you. Thank you so much. I had put something in you for this tonight. I know I'll be crying. And y'all just don't excuse me. Just join in with me. I tell you, people really don't know. They don't know what happened when you get in the flow. The Bible is true. Amen. Let the Bible be truth and every man a lie. I'm living proof. God bragged on Job. Yeah. He said, Job, he's not bragging on Job. What about my servant Job? Yeah. And he told how holy Job was. Then he went to talking about naming how many sheep Job had and how many cattle Job had and how many oxen Job, she asses Job had. Why would the Lord say that? The Lord was saying, there's a man who took me for my word. Yeah. Are you all planning on taking him for his word?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. How many of y'all coming out of debt? How many of y'all gonna put them credit card how they should be?
Yeah.
You got to work on it a while. It's gonna take a while, but you need to work on it. You follow what I'm saying? I'm here to help you. I'm not against you, I'm for you.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The thing that I'm sharing you is an intricate thing. The average minister wouldn't share it with you. But I have to share it with you, because if I don't, I'm gonna stop my blessing from flowing.
Amen.
That's why I'm blessed. I'm blessed to share it with the body of Christ. Without being arrogant, you know I'm not arrogant. My arm get tired. I wave at everybody I meet, trucks and big 18-wheelers. I don't know who in the truck. I want to make sure they don't think I think I'm big. I'm just waving at them. Hallelujah. How you doing? I don't want to hurt nobody. I want to help people. Yeah, we've been in debt too long. The church have taught us about poverty. Talking about the less you have, the more holy you are. How many ever heard that? Humble yourself before God and be broke. That's not the Bible. Look at this verse, we'll prove it. Then there's no such thing. I want you to get this. There's no such thing about being spiritually rich without rising up financially. No such thing. No such thing. The two go together. If you get a hold of God and become a supplier of God's need, God will supply your need. No such thing. Because we take every scripture that God is trying to tell us, I want you to have abundant life, and we, these theologians, take every scripture and spiritualize it. They take every scripture and begin to say, now he means that you're rich with him. And he means that when you get to heaven, you know, what a time it going to be. That's what he means. Nothing for down here. Come to up hard trials and tribulations. Everybody living in Revelation. Hard trials and tribulation. Well, we be gone then. I hope you don't be here. You better check yourself. You better be awaiting. Going through no tribulation period. Church be out of here. Are you listening to me? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you find it yet?
Yeah.
Verse 9 says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became what?
Poor.
That ye through his poverty might be
rich.
Might be
rich.
Now I had the people, and I need to get you to say it, because you know you got to get your mouth. Say it, rich.
Rich.
Say it, rich.
Rich.
Say rich, rich.
Rich, rich.
Say it again.
Rich,
rich. All right. See, now, somebody would hear this wrong, but the body of Christ been in poverty so long that we have to change your mindset. We are not going after money. Good time for me to tell you them two words. Yeah, I went down to the supermarket.
Yeah, I go again.
I love to tell this story. I was in my shorts, you know, and I had a little t-shirt on. Went down to get some apple and oranges for my wife and I to put in our juicer early one morning. I was behind this white gentleman. He had his 6 or 8 pack of beer. And he put it up on the counter. He pulled out his wallet, paid for his bill. And I saw in his wallet he had no more. You know, I wasn't peeping, but the wallet was right there. And I saw they give him $3 or $4 back. He put it back in his wallet. He looked back at me. I was the next one in line. He says, money really goes. Money really goes. And I said, oh, yeah, money really goes. And I paid for my apples and oranges, you know, minding my own business, got in my car. When I got in the car, listen very closely, God was in the car in a manifested presence. And he said to me, money really go. He didn't get goes out. By the time he said go, the first part of goeth, out of my innermost being, out of my inner man, I heard these two words come floating up out of my spirit. See your spirit right here. Didn't come out. They didn't come out of my head. They came out of my spirit. These two words. Money cometh. Boy, you know, I said, my goodness. You know, I knew I was pregnant with something then. I knew I was pregnant with something in my spirit. So I said it again. Money cometh. Amen. And then I said it a third time. It's something about saying it the third time. I said, money coming. And you had to beat me with a baseball bat and shoot me with 2 guns to tell me that money wasn't continually coming to me. Amen. And so I didn't know how significant those words were. But I was invited to camp meeting. You know, camp meeting is one of the biggest meetings that they have in the United States of America. 12 to 13,000 people. And they asked me to preach. And God went on and proved those words. Because to my utter amazement, when I got through preaching, this is going to be good for you. When I got through preaching, to my utter amazement, they asked me to preach in a 2:30 in Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. They asked me to preach, and it was a jump up because they told me one night and I was on the next evening. So you know I had my group praying in the hotel. They told Bob, what, $50 an hour, they told you? We told them, we'll take the room. We need to pray, man. $50 an hour, we'll pay $50, worth it. We need to pray. And we went there and went to praying. And I prayed. And I ministered, you know. People from all over the United States, every state represented in every country almost. Amen. And to my utter amazement, I got to the end of that sermon, and I told about this money coming, this revelation I had. And then all of a sudden it came out in me, now you don't have to understand, camp meeting been going on, one of the biggest meetings in the United States for 20, 22, 21 years. And here come out my mouth, this will be the largest offering in the history of camp meeting on a Tuesday evening. I almost looked back and said, who said that? Don't come up here messing me up here like this. Yeah? The prophet have let me preach, you know, give me an opportunity in my lifetime, and I'm going to get up here and say something like this, and they're going to go kaplop, but I never could think about that. But he could. He said it so fast, you know. You know, I knew I had said it, but I almost wanted to look back because it was out then. Hundreds of people ran up to the altar, not going back a little bit. Hundreds of people ran to the altar to receive the Holy Ghost. I told them run. Hundreds of people run to come get the Holy Ghost that day. I had some Catholic pass me. He hollered, hey, I'm Catholic. I'm going to get the Holy Ghost. You remember that? But then that night the prophet came up after, you know, you had 3 meetings a day. And the prophet came up who have a track record of 60 years of honesty of ministry. He came up and said those words Brother Thompson had must be from the Lord. This is the largest offering we ever had on a Tuesday evening in the history of camp meeting. Bless God, the proof. God, give me the word and give the prophet to endorse the word. Give a demonstration and give the prophet to endorse the word. Now listen, I don't want you to miss it here in Louisiana. Listen to me closely. It's very a simple word. Money cometh. You see, I know that this thing's been hidden from us. And God, you see, you probably say money is coming. Or money coming some kind of way. Money cometh came up in my spirit, and it means that a continual process of money coming to you because you're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Say it, money cometh.
Money cometh.
And he told me to tell you, and I need to get back to the scripture, but I need to tell this too. He told me to tell you it's not for covetousness reason, but it's for covenant reason. Then he told me to tell you to repeat this. I'll never be broke.
I'll never be broke.
Another day in my life. How many of y'all ever said that? He wanted to ask that question before out of that. Now here we are. You know our lives, listen, will not rise no higher than our confession. And here we in the body of Christ, and not one of us, including me, until I come to the revelation, never said I'll never be broke another day in my life. And we know our lives are run by confession. But we have said money fly away. Money really goes. You know, I'm always broke. Then some dumb man made the sticker. I'm too poor to pay attention. Then a person got enough gall to put that doggone sticker on their bumper. And everywhere they go, they're confessing they're broke. But you know the devil gonna tap in on that. Then those people who work 65 years and they give them one of them broken watches that don't worth nothing for 25, 50 years of their life. Give them one of them little watches and pat them on the back and don't want to pay them like they should pay them anyway for giving their life to them. And then they got the gall to put a tick on their back, retired but broke. Hallelujah. No, we read in the scripture also, all things are yours. You are Christ, and all things are yours. Now notice again, for ye know, you're still in Corinthians, right? I didn't tell you to turn the words, right? You're still in Corinthians? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now turn to Galatians again. And we're going to look at this third chapter again. We're talking about tonight, don't sell her for less, for he has provided for you to have the best. But you have to have balance. Let me talk with you a little bit some more with the Lord. I mean, the Holy Ghost is really pushing this thing. Make sure you stay on your level until you're ready to go to the next level. Are you listening to me? Make sure you don't jump to the other person experience level. That's why he choked you. That's why he grabbed you. Make sure you don't build a house or buy a car because you see somebody else with it. You're going to jam your faith. And your study going to have to be made. See, I'm not constantly making confession. Because that don't make it come. So if you jam your faith, you really gonna see faith is never a struggle. But you're gonna be struggling and you're gonna say, well, this devil fighting. No, it's not the devil fighting you. You've made a stupid mistake. Yeah. And you done mess around and punched the wrong floor in that elevator and got off on the wrong floor at the wrong time and you're too high. You should have stopped at another floor before you got to that 13th floor, 12th floor, whatever floor. Are you listening to me? Yes. Be sure the Lord is. See, false prosperity is a monster. Cars and can't put gas in it. Houses and can't have guests over. Why? You're broke. You can't hardly pay the gas bill. Got an air conditioner you can't run. Cut it back. Cut it way, way, way back. You know, sweating in house. I've been in the house of people sweating. I heard them finish that visit. I read that voice fast. But these people, yeah, got a big old nice house in the air conditioning cut. I mean, it's 75 degrees up here. Now, turn this air conditioner up here so we can get some air in this house. Talking about we economize. Now, I believe in economize. My sister keep the air conditioner wide open. Now, she don't have no mansion. But she lived like a queen. She'll turn that, eat what she want. Turn my older sister. Turn the alkaline, her husband, talking about turn this thing open, yeah. Something go wrong with the car, you know. She drive an automobile and the husband say, her husband kind of economize, you know. He tight, really, with the truth. You know? Tell you the truth about it. I'm just going to go ahead and go out on a limb. He hold on to a squeeze. You ever heard of somebody squeezing a dollar? But that girl, she said, no, I'm going to get the man to wash this car. She'd take it down there and say, y'all clean this car. You follow what I'm saying? But go back to these people with these houses with these air conditioning cut back. If you ever know I'm coming, cut it down a little bit because I'm going to talk about you. I drove in my yard last night. It had frost on my window. I keep them things running. I got all three of them. A lady told me, big lady too, they got a lot of money. Some people don't know what money for. She said, my husband, he's a big man over, manager over plant. And I'm walking through the subdivision. And the lady moved from another state, so she used to being cold. Said, my husband said, the man said, there a man can help you. Neighbor across the street told her, said, there's a man can help you with this air conditioning problem, with the problem about this heat. I said, turn the air conditioning down. I can help you. I ain't praying to God. This summertime down here. Ain't no miracle need to be happening. You just need to turn the air conditioning down. She said, well, my husband don't want me to turn it down. I said, with a tight rock, turn it down while he going to work. Put some air in the house. No. But they're moving these big houses and can't run the air conditioning. That's not prosperity. That's false prosperity. I mean, see what I'm talking about now? You know the body of Christ, we've been in this kind of stuff. We've been in, people made shipwreck of their lives, went out and started doing a lot of things, you know, listening to these people on TV, went to sending all that money to some people on TV and all that stuff, think they're going to be rich overnight. You ain't going to get it overnight. You're going to have to work your faith, and you're going to have to come up through the ranks. Yeah. Amen. I hope I help you in that area some. Yeah. See, and here's another thing is, we're not after money. Money after us. Oh, I wish you could get that. See, it said, money cometh, not we go after money. See, by fulfilling the will of God, money cometh. God, listen, turn to the 35th Psalm. Hallelujah, I'll go over it again. You can't work this word too much. I'll go over it again. Just the other day in the minister's conference, God told me, said, I want you to preach things over and over again. One old minister told me, you haven't preached a message until you preach it 50 times. We always want some new revelation. Y'all preacher, listen to me. We always want something new. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See what the Lord is doing now. He's putting the cream on top. All those things you learn on those tapes, you're going to have to do it decent and in order to have banners that you won't get off in error. And get off in error and error, erring after money. We're not after money. Money after us. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Exceedingly. Abundantly. Above. All that we ask or think. According. And all I'm trying to do in these 2 weeks of this prosperity revival is get the power working in you. If you get the power working in you, I'm telling you the truth, the lights will come on. Hallelujah. Just trying to get that power activated. Just trying to get you to know who you are. Just trying to get you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ became poor that you might become rich. He, through his poverty, his death on the cross, he died, took your place of poverty that you might have his place of prosperity. This verse prove it right here. Oh my goodness, hallelujah. See, people don't understand this thing. They'll go off the sand. They stay home and run their mouths and stay broke and don't know and mad with you because you're not broke and won't come out and let you teach them nothing. You know, and they get mad. Get mad and you pass and blow on him. Say, look at him. Look at her. He's stealing something. Well, preachers are always talking about preacher stealing. Because the preacher doing something. Why you don't say the president's stealing? Why some of these school teachers not stealing? Who got nice cars and stuff? No, they want to keep the preacher back on the headland in a little hut praying. My members heard me say a long time ago, 18 years, don't put me in no sack. I'm coming out of the sack. They had all the preachers in the sack. I'm coming out of that sack. You ain't gonna shake me around talking about, hey, Rip, lad. Hey, Rip. Y'all know how y'all used to play with me. Hey, Rip. You can't do that to me. You see signs and wonders in my life. So you ain't gonna play around. You ain't gonna go back in your nice house and have me go into that hut. Hallelujah. You need to say amen or old means truth anyway. Amen. God is establishing his covenant in the earth's realm. Yes. Through those who trust him for his word, do what he said do, God will take care of you. Yes. Quit quoting the 23rd Psalm until you believe this. The Lord is my shepherd and I'm full of want. Oh no, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That's the way it's supposed to go. But we quote it one way and live another way. He prepares a table for me in the present. And the revelation of that is I don't have no enemies in heaven. So he must be talking about a table down here. Your soul need to be restored. That you can think right. He restores my soul. You need to let the Lord restore your soul so that you can get your thinking and begin to think like this book. Amen. Think in agreement with God's word. Amen. What God says mine is mine. And I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm only moved by what I believe. And if I keep believing, it'll change what I feel and it'll change what I see. Yes. You understand that? Now notice this, even in the Old Testament, it says, let them, Psalm 35, you got your shouting clothes on? Because it says shout. Yes. Psalm 35 and 27, it said, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continuously, let the Lord be magnified which has pleasure. Everybody say pleasure.
Pleasure.
Say it again.
Pleasure.
Pleasure what? Pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. If the Lord have pleasure in the prosperity of an Old Testament servant, how much more those of us who have been born of his spirit, washed in his blood, filled with the mighty Holy Ghost, and become sons and daughters of God, he'll have pleasure in our prosperity. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You wasn't here, you don't know what that is. We'll tell you about it. You wasn't here last night, you don't know what this means. My brother said, what that mean, man? What you doing here? What is this sign here? I want to know what these signs. That's signs and wonders. You were here last night, Doc? Oh, sign the chicken wondering what I'm doing. I'm flying away with the eagles. Too many of us been in a chicken coop too long, pecking and eating worms and bugs. And you haven't never tried your wing. If you try your wings, you know you can fly out of that situation. God have given you wings of the Holy Ghost, revelation, knowledge. He's given you the blood, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you start mounting up on them wings like an eagle, you'll come out of the chicken yard and stop eating bugs and worms and picking around. You'll fly above, fly out that fence and go out in the sweet atmosphere where God wants you. He said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Don't be a chicken picking around, just picking as a Christian, just eating worms and bugs and scrapping what you can get. Flap them wings. Get on out of that chicken, y'all. Get on the air where God wants you to be and live in prosperity. Bless God and be a blesser of the gospel. If I say now, we need $7,000 from 17 people tonight to send a missionary to China, move y'all a fan. You ain't got it. I got it. Some of y'all been working two jobs. I'm talking about having it, can turn it loose and it'll never bother you. Some of y'all been working two jobs all your life. You might not have $17. And you're being robbed. You understand what I'm saying? Don't get mad with me. I didn't do it to you. I wasn't at your house. I had nothing to do with it. I don't have none of your money. J.C. Penney and Ditas got it. Get mad with them. I'm just sharing with you. God want to put you in a position. If he said a missionary stand up and say, I need a truck, two motorcycles, and three bicycles. And you can stand up and say, I'll buy the truck. How much a truck? Say, the truck $10,000. Say, I'll buy it. We can't do it, body of Christ. We got to go down to the bank, ask for a loan. Then this man, he going to take you through all kind of chance. You got to tell when your mama died, who was your nana, social security number, and have you ever been to the army, and all this kind of stuff, you know. Then they tell you, we'll get in contact with you, how long is it, sometime 3 days. The missionary need to go today. The iron curtain going to fall tonight if you don't get in. So we at the bank, the church at the bank, borrowing money, trying to get the man over to preach the gospel. How many see what I'm talking about? Yes. Now, there's some of you, when you get it, you ain't going to give it. Guess what? You're not going to get it. Now, you say, I got $7,000 in the bank. Yeah, but if you give it, your heart will hurt for years. Your heart will be hurting. Say, man, I believe we made a mistake. Give it a, say, man, we ain't got no more seven left. Oh, my goodness, we work all. See, it's hard to turn that money loose if you've been scrapping and scraping for 25 years to get it together. Now, this is good preaching. I don't care what you say. This is what we need to hear. This is what the Father told me to preach. He have pleasure in the prosperity of his saint. And the reason is, did we read that in Deuteronomy? I told you, Tony, we never read it, did we? Oh my goodness, let's go back. Let's go back to that, because I got to get to the 18th verse. My goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When all this started. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I've preached myself happy. Well, glory to God. Bless God and all his holy angels. I'm not preaching what somebody told me. I listened to them tell it to me for a long time. And I did what you're doing tonight. Long time. I listened to the other fellow, you know. They're telling me. I listened to them men of God who got it hooked up and watched them and kept working the principle. Watch them and go listen to them. Work the principle. Finally, the thing become a reality in my life. You know, I didn't grumble because they were blessed. Yeah, I tell you, you better hook up with this thing. This thing is real. Amen. And I'm not covetous. I tell you, bless God, you know, if I was covetous, I'd be stealing from this church. You wouldn't have no $1 million in the bank. I'd work out something, you know. Yeah, no, 1,000 times no. I have integrity. I have honesty. I know whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, in the negative aspect, I know better. Be sure. Your sin will find you out. I don't want to be sleeping uneasy. So I'm going to be honest before all men. And you don't have to steal for God to get it to you. Ooh, glory to God. I don't know if I've done you any good. I've been talking about everything I can to get you to see, to balance yourself, to don't go too much of a hurry. Don't go build that house. I told one of my members, I won't call it in there. I said, no. I said, you're doing wrong here. I said, you don't need your dream house now. You need a starter. Get you a starter, boy. Get you a starter. Get your family in there starter and dress it up real nice and with a little small room. Get you a starter. I said, listen, I didn't get you overnight. Amen. Be happy with that starter and shout and jump in there. You know, I was happy in my other house. I was asking my sister, was I happy? I was just happy. I sat out in the rocker. You thought I was in a mansion. I'd rock, man, wave at you. You know, I had it pretty decent, you know. Get your starter. Some of y'all won't go too far, too fast. Get your car look like a Mercedes. You ain't ready for no Mercedes. Get your car look like one or look like a Lexus. They got them there. They got them little duplicates out there that look like them. Get you one of them. That's right. And come on now. Come on. I'm trying to get the body of Christ straight. Don't go straight and buy that big car and you can't put gas in it. And the insurance high on Mercedes. See, I'm talking about banners. Mercedes don't make you wealthy. Mercedes make you broke if you don't have enough money to support the thing. It puts you in a hole that you can't get out. Further. Then you're going to have to go to using Visa again. Then you're going to have to go to using MasterCard because you're trying to pay for a Mercedes and you don't have Mercedes money. Amen. That good preaching, John?
Yes.
Good preaching. That good preaching. Amen. I got to ask Mom. You know, Mom know when I'm preaching good. This woman don't miss a service. Yeah. See this woman here? This white woman. Yeah. Oh, that's my mama. You don't know how that happened, but just like a black cow give white milk. That's the way it happened. It's supernatural by God. I know I got you confused, but she my mama. Because I'm a miracle baby. Hallelujah. And I trust her as a mom. My goodness. But I'll preach myself in the year, Martha. Boy, that's pretty good preaching. Goodness, man. I tell you, if you don't make it from this thing, just go ahead and be broke for a few more years and we'll come back with it because I said it. Look, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Is that my hour or my half hour? All right. I'm going to preach a little longer tonight. Huh? That's my half there on the clock? I've been preaching an hour and 20 minutes? You fired. Come on out. Put somebody else in the boot. I believe you're cheating me. I believe you took some of my time. No, I'm just kidding what you've been on. All right, let's kind of hurry then. Oh, you know, I could just shout right now. Oh! Oh! Yeah! 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 Oh! It's true. I tell you the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've been telling you the truth. It's true. God wants you blessed. He wants you empowered to prosper. Yeah. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. If I only can get you to see what I'm talking about. Woo, glory to God. The body of Christ will rise up like a giant in the earth's rim. Woo, glory to God. We'll take our rightful place as sons and daughters of God and come out of debt. Why, Baba Saka? Glory to God. Whew. Oh, my goodness. Oh. Whoa. Whoa. Got to get it out some kind of way. Man, you boys open some of the stuff. You know, the goodness of God getting in with my sister. God wants you out of debt. God don't want you broke. Just think about the generation we got. Just think about the heritage that I'm leaving for my son. If Jesus tarry, just the tapes and stuff that I'm putting out, that boy almost can live on the royalty if it was such a thing. I don't get nothing from the tape. These tapes are going to be historical tapes. I know it in my heart. The Lord told me. If Jesus tarry, if my children just, all they got to do is stay lined up, and they'll come right along down the prosperity line where I am. He said he'll leave you, you know what I'm saying, he'll leave a heritage for your children. We even been leaving our children and fighting when we die. Fighting over the $50 we left. He got some parent even stupid enough to say, when I die, everybody gonna suffer. Got to bury some of them. Don't you be one of them. Leave your children something that they won't have to fight. Write a will. That'll keep the court from getting all this stuff. All of y'all need to write a will. If you live, you're going to die sooner or later. Talking about, I ain't writing no will. You're going to die sooner or later. Write a will. The will's not going to kill you. Goodness, my goodness. So they won't have to say, this for John, this for Jack. Have a lawyer to get it wrote. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to ask y'all how many of y'all got a will because it'd be sad in here tonight. Deuteronomy 8:18. I'm going to read and close. I haven't covered half of the notes I got for tonight, but we'll get it. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. To get what?
Wealth.
To get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. That he may do what?
His covenant.
Listen, God covenant is a covenant of increase. Turn to Psalm 115. Hallelujah. I tell you this word. You hide this word in your heart. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. God's covenant is a covenant of increase. I have to find it. I have a new Bible here. But who found it? What? 115, verse 14? Yeah. Verse 13 says. Verse 12. Verse 11. It all look good. We ought to read the whole Psalm. We don't have time. Verse 11. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. My goodness. He will bless. Now, the word bless, you make making your note you were not your last night. The word bless actually literally means empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. He will empower to prosper us. He will empower to prosper the house of Israel. He will empower to prosper the house of Aaron. He will empower to prosper them that fear the Lord, both small, there you are. There you are. That's what I've been telling you all night. Both great and great.
Small and great.
Small and great. Right where you are, Marvin. Listen to me, son. Right where you are. You work these plans, you and your wife work these plans, I'm telling you, God will cause you to prosper. You hear me, Pat? Right where you are, you work these principles, you get these tapes, sop these tapes up. God's word is more real than a banker. You hear me, Roosevelt? God's word is more real than a banker. It does not mean you're idolizing nothing because you're blessed. You're just using this stuff. This stuff is only a temporary thing. I don't own nothing, but while I'm passing through here, my father wants me to have a good time, I'm going to have it. Notice this. Verse 13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord, verse 14, shall increase you. The Lord shall do what? The Lord shall do what?
Increase.
The Lord shall do what?
Increase.
Increase you how?
More and more.
More and more. Well, listen, listen, listen. I just said it to you. You. That's what he wants for you. That's what the Lord wants for you. He wants you to increase so you can work on his covenant. See, when somebody, the gospel, God's major concern now is not about us knowing the gifts of the Spirit, not about us talking in tongues, not about us building big houses and stuff like that. God's most concern is not about that. God is concerned about evangelizing the world. And when he finds a reservoir that will work for him in that matter, he bless them. Now you have to remember all the silver and all the gold belong to God. You have to remember the thousand on a cattle hill, on the thousand cattle on a thousand hill belong to him. You have to remember the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You have to remember that. Turn to the, my goodness, we don't have much time. Turn to Genesis. I'll tell you what I turn when you get there. Bless God. I want to show you this before I close. You remember I told you, bless me and empower to prosper. Some of y'all know where I'm going. Well, we got 6 minutes. Let me see, can I do it in 6 minutes? Genesis. Oh, goodness. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
How many of y'all really got it? How many of y'all buying them tapes? You better buy them tapes. Them tapes will change your life, man. Listen. I talked about how to survive till the prosperity arrives. I talked about money coming versus money coveted. What else I talked about, Ronald? Give me some more things here. We might not get to all this anyway. Let me. What else?
Money coming
versus going after money. Right and wrong thinking about money. Huh? How to qualify for your prosperity. What causes money not to come? My God, everybody want that one. Yeah, amen. What causes money not to come? The Holy Ghost went into some areas to deal with that. Some people stopping the money from coming. Three jobs. And the system out of whack. I want this old system out of whack. These women aren't supposed to be working. I know y'all don't like it yet, but man, they got to work. Now this thing will fall out the bottom. These women stop working because we done bought so much. But them women are supposed to be riding around in the air conditioned shopping. Come on, women, y'all, that's sweet. I'll get the women on my side. I got it. See, that's not God's way for these women to work. I mean, we done got so far gone now. Jesus just done had grace on us and just going to let us go on. But they don't supposed to be working.
Amen.
And they're supposed to have a good salary, more than enough. And men, when a man marry a woman, he supposed to marry all her bills or whatever she got. Well, I don't know about you, but I've preached myself happy. We've really had a wonderful time. I thank the ministers, pastors for coming and their wives. Some been with me all the week from different parts.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. Or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.